So what I'm going to do is talk about a little bit about my Part A dental model, but what I'm really going to concentrate on is the collaboration that we've developed with the Harvard School of Dental Medicine. And so this program is presentation is also credited to Dr. John DeSilva, who's Vice Dean and Associate Professor of at the Harvard School of Dental Medicine. We have nothing to disclose. And the purpose of this is to give you an overview of the Part A program, describe the Part F at Harvard, and our collaboration. So the Ryan White Care Act, as it was originally referred to, it's had a few name changes through reauthorization, was passed by wide margins in August of 1990, bipartisan support all throughout. It was originally named the Ryan White Comprehensive AIDS Resources Emergency Care Act, named after Ryan White and Indiana team. By the time the bill became law, more than 150,000 United States cases of AIDS had been reported, and more than 100,000 had died. Under the Ryan White HIV/AIDS programs, as we refer to it now, there are five different parts. Part A is money that goes to eligible metropolitan areas like our Part A that Michael directs and I'm funded through. Part B provides money to states and territories. Part C is for primary health care settings. Part D is for family-centered care, outpatient, inpatient for women, infants, and children and youth living with HIV/AIDS. And Part F has a number of components, but what we're concentrating on today are those two dedicated to funding oral health, which is the Dental Reimbursement Program and the Community-Based Dental Partnership Program. The reason I'm mentioning all of these is because there are opportunities within these parts to fund oral health care should that part decide to do that. So this is a government-based program that was established in 1991, our HIV Dental Ombudsperson Program, HIV DOP. Now we just sort of refer to ourselves as HIV Dental. It's designed to remove and reduce barriers to oral health care services for persons living with HIV/AIDS in the Boston eligible metropolitan area, and I'll show you what that looks like in a few minutes, and for the rest of Massachusetts. Our major activities are enrollment, referral, reimbursement, and education for both clients and providers. The Boston Public Health Commission, Michael, actually manages the program, and funding is provided through Part A. This is to show you the world is flat. There was nothing we could do to this map to make it come out. But the Boston EMA is 10 counties, including three in southern New Hampshire, and that's where the Part A funds come. And the rest of Massachusetts, Cape and Islands, and Western Mass is from funding through the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So our goal is to remove and reduce barriers to care such as financial stigma, fear of disclosure, to identify qualified providers and ensure they receive annual training and updates, and provide access to specialty care and consults. And let me just say right now, specialists don't want to work with us and consult with us, and it's no longer an issue of that's an HIV-positive patient. It's an issue of finance. Now, we pay at the State Rate Setting Commission, which is the Medicaid fee, which is the HRSA requirement, and it can be 20 to maybe, at most, a high of 35% of usual customary and reasonable fees. Our model is a public and private network of providers, including dental teaching institutions, such as EU. We have individual arrangements with our providers in terms of the number of referrals they'll take, how to refer clients. We have 180 providers across the state and through our EMA. We're federally mandated as the payer of last resort, so you'll see why we rely on other programs. All our claims invoices are processed in-house, and we've set up since the very beginning a case management process for client enrollment, verification of eligibility, and referral according to the standards and conditions of our HRSA award. From 2005 to 2013, these are the total number of services and unique clients. We really can't report on 2014 because we are in the process of changing databases, and we only have information on newly enrolled clients. So if you want to hear more about our total client population, I can email you. And I've already talked to you about where our funds come from, but the two programs, as I said, specifically funded for oral health care are the community-based dental partnership and the dental reimbursement. The community-based dental partnership program was funded first in 2002 to increase access to oral health care for people living with HIV, but in addition to that, to provide education and clinical training for dental care providers, especially in community-based settings. And they work through a number of different collaborations between dental hygiene schools, different aid service organizations. The number of grantees has remained at 12 since they were first funded, and over the years since funding began, they've trained over 3,200 students, treated over 5,800 people living with HIV at a cost of $3.7 million. The dental reimbursement program was funded in 1994 to assist dental teaching institutions to provide care to persons living with HIV or AIDS. Unreimbursed, you know, free care, reimbursed the year after for the amount of dollars uncompensated, with the intent to have a student clinical experience in education as well as a treatment component. In the last data I could get was from 2010, that $9.2 million was spent to provide care to over 35,600 people living with HIV, and over 12,000 students received training. So I'm going to start with a little bit of the history of Harvard. So Harvard Dental Center, prior to Ryan White funding even becoming available, made a commitment to provide care to HIV/AIDS patients. And Rick Balakovic, many of you know, and John DeSilva working together, set up a standard based, you know, their infection control based on CDC recommendations, and we didn't know a lot about the etiology, but they created an environment committed to treating and welcoming patients, persons living with HIV/AIDS, and that that cost would not be a barrier, and treatment would be provided regardless of a patient's ability to pay. Early on, their main collaborator was on the New England Deaconess Hospital, where they created a culture of caring, and they started participating with us as soon as we were funded. And they were very pleased to replace fear with a compassionate commitment for care, non-discriminatory setting, and how much everyone, students, faculty, and staff, could learn from doing this. So our program in Harvard is a very small dental school class. And so what we set up with them is using our case management model to enroll eligible patients to then refer to Harvard for care, which is different than our collaboration with Tufts and BU, where we do a lot of referrals. Harvard is not the only Part F program we work with, and there are only three. So we do the case management for them. And what has happened over time, because we've taken that burden of eligibility away from them and having to verify, is that they've been able to open all of their dental clinics, including their faculty practice, which is rare in a Part F program, to provide specialized care that we cannot find otherwise through our providers. So patients are seen in the teaching practice and all pre- and postgraduate clinics. This is the number of patients they've seen over the past several years, and their awards from 2012, 13, and 14. And 14 is underrepresented, again, because of our database and not their database. When the Part F program first came out, it was about 62 to 65 cents on the dollar reimbursed. Now it's about 33 cents on the dollar, but you have to really consider the fixed cost. The impact of care is that the collaboration has allowed an increased access to care for persons living with HIV in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, the use of specialty care, but this is a sustainable and replicable model that other Part Ryan White programs can use in other vulnerable institutions. The impact of care, according to Harvard, is that their most memorable moment was when a patient came up, shook their hand, said, "Thank you, you gave me my life back. I didn't want to leave my house. I didn't have any teeth. Now I go everywhere from our community and myself. Thank you." I want to acknowledge the assistance of my staff, Tony Silva, in presenting this, and Lisa Lavagna at Harvard, who's the patient services coordinator, because it's actually the two of them that came up with this concept in collaboration and allowed the increase for care. Thank you.